We're live at Falcons training camp. Snake Shapiro, Drew Butler, thrilled to be here. First time here in the parking lot, in the middle of the action in almost two full years. Last time I was here, I was sitting with Arthur Smith. We opened up training camp. Were we together for that or not?
Not on that day, but I was out here. And then obviously last year, everything was under construction here.
Yeah,
but,
so we
I mean, the parking lot is slammed. Today's the first day of pads.
The
weather's perfect.
Yeah, I've never parked this far.
Holy cow.
I mean, this almost, you know, feels like a resurrection of Falcon fans on a last week of school before.
Yeah.
Last week before school starts. And we parked way, 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 way back, thanks to a young lady who literally saved us on that golf cart and drove us right up to the show.
Yes, thank you, friend.
It is exciting to see this many Falcon fans here. It will not look like this once school's back in session. But on a beautiful Tuesday morning, it's beautiful because we've got this fan sitting right here.
That's right.
The energy of the National Football League is kind of what I was thinking about. I've been to so many of these training camps. I've covered so many of them. I was at Furman back in the day with Dan Reeves and Jamal Anderson and Ray Buchanan and Keith Brooking. And, you know, that's when we were having we would dine with the team would eat, and then all the reporters, we'd go dine in the cafeteria at Furman. Ray Buchanan had a tripped-out golf cart that he was speeding all over with. They were in the middle of double sessions. It was just as hot as this. They'd have their morning session, film session, rest, and that dreadful second practice of the day where they'd bring everybody back for another 3 hours. And, you know, it's just a lot of years of covering this football team, and unfortunately for the franchise of late, you know, I would say, you know, I've been here for two great eras, the Mike Vick era and the Matt Ryan era, but of late it has not been what they wanted.
No, you're exactly right, and obviously every new season brings a lot of optimism, but for clear reasons, Falcons fans are very excited about 2025. Michael Penix Jr., he seems to be the savior at this point. You loaded up on the defensive side of the ball in the 2025 NFL draft, one of them being a homeboy in Jalen Walker straight out of the University of Georgia.
Yep.
And I think, Stake, when you look at the division, we always talk about it, just the other week, ESPN produced a ranking of 32 NFL teams based on roster talent. The Falcons weren't exactly where you wanted them to be. I believe they were ranked 26th, but the Panthers were ranked 30th, and the Saints were ranked 32nd. So the division is wide open for the taking.
They were up against
the Bucs in week one.
They were ranked 26th.
The Falcons were ranked 26th. I'm listening to the morning shift with Bo and Mike and Allie setting it up, and I'm guessing to myself, 16, 18.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And they said 26, based on roster talent alone, and the biggest reason was because of the unfamiliarity at quarterback.
Yeah, because you think of Chris Lindstrom, you think of Bijan, you think of Drake London, and you think about Jesse Bates, and then I guess you have a huge demerit for a quarterback that's unproven. That must
right.
have been the fact, but I mean, those guys alone are Pro Bowl talent. And then you add two first-rounders that could be huge impact. We'll talk more about last year's all-rookie class and how they literally helped their teams almost get to the Super Bowl. So it can happen right out of the gate. But very surprised the roster goes that far low. It's also great. It's a great example how there's 32 NFL shows, 32 NFL flagships sitting there like we are in some training camp studio, some of them tricked out on the field, some of them sitting in the back of God knows where, some shed, but everybody's doing their pregame. And I wonder how many of those on-air journalists, or how many guys, you know, covering the team that are fans, are literally talking to their listeners and saying, let's be honest, guys, we really don't have any hope. You know, because even with all these years, just look at the last 3 years. Arthur Smith told us with Desmond Ridder, we're going to be okay.
We're going to be okay, saving a bunch of salary cap space, third-round quarterback. We got talent around him.
Yeah, we were convinced. I said, Arthur's not going to not make the playoffs this year. Bijan was a rookie. Drake London was a second, third-year guy. Kyle Pitts, we had all that. Last year, no question about it. We sat here and we said, we're the farthest thing from having no hope. We got Kirk Cousins, number one free agent signing.
Yep.
We got guys maturing. We're going to be better on defense. There's no way we could be as bad as
then
we were.
Then you bring in
ago.
Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons in the first 10 days of training camp.
Great point. Yeah, I mean, that's I'm thinking now because that whole thing blew up so horribly.
Oh.
But I remember sitting here when Matthew Judon showed up and he was working out right here in that weight room. We were looking at him and I go, wow, this is a great example why we're going to the playoffs. We got Kirk Cousins. We got young talent around him on offense. We just added a pass rusher that's prolific. And we know how that happened. This year, back to the same optimism, which is two first rounders that can impact on defense, a second year quarterback that played a little bit as a rookie, and spending your money on Leonard Floyd and having guys that you think are going to be in their second year that could have an impact. So we don't know. But how many NFL camps really have to sit there and go, yeah, we know this is going to be a long season. Now, New Orleans might be the worst roster. You had him at 32nd, right? You heard
that's what ESPN had him at. That's
so, correct. You know, there are plenty of guys in the Carolina, radio booth sitting there saying, look at the way last year ended. Look at Bryce Young's.
They're looking at the Falcons saying, we already beat them last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're saying, we had a great draft. They're saying that we're adding, we've always been fairly prolific on defense. My point is, nothing is filled with hope more than the National Football League's training camp and 32 teams. And I'd say 20 of the 32, at the absolute least, think they have a chance to go deep in the playoffs. And we're one of them.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, what do you think the Washington Commanders thought before the season started last year?
Well, I think that they probably said this will be a fun year, but nowhere near what they thought.
Exactly.
But I can tell you that in New England, because I follow that, they're talking about them going to the postseason after being 3-14.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, their roster is stacked.
They got to love Vrabel.
Vrabel, and they spent hundreds of millions. My point is, I don't want to talk about New England. But the Jets, they're a bad team. New England was a bad team. Jets are a bad team. Miami, they can all make cases in those towns that we've got the talent, we got new coaches, we got all this stuff that should help us go around the rest of the league. And I think Cleveland would have a hard time convincing anybody that they're moving forward with Joe Flacco or
Shedeur Sanders or Kenny Pickett
or whoever it was.
Dylan Gabriel.
But for the most part, it's I love what we do for a living, but it's all the same rhetoric in just about 80% of these camps. There's guys on the air. They're looking at the roster. They're convincing themselves that why not?
There's six teams where the radio teams and the media and the local media have every right to say, we're going to win a Super Bowl this year. That's the Buffalo Bills. That's the Baltimore Ravens. That's probably the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs. It is your usual suspect, the Detroit Lions.
The L.A. Rams.
Those are the ones who can sit here and say,
did you say the Commanders?
How are we going to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, the Commanders. Yep. I mean, they're absolutely going to say it as far as they went last year. Cincinnati Bengals can say,
if we don't start 0-4, we have a chance.
Right. I mean, we signed the guys we're supposed to. We're about to sign hopefully our defensive linemen. I mean, that's what the league is built around. The Pittsburgh Steelers are saying, why not us with Aaron Rodgers? They're going to be convinced the same Aaron Rodgers and, the media.
I think, we could do a whole segment about that, but I have a very weird feeling that marriage between Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith could go down in a blaze of glory.
You know what? I think it's too predictable. I think it's too predictable that the Steelers just can't compete in that division, and maybe it goes better than you think. Listen, I think Arthur Smith is relieved to not have Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. And I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is a big upgrade.
Yeah.
But he also coached the year before Desmond Ridder. The year before he coached Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, maybe he gets out of his own way in a sense.
Yeah, or he just goes, at least I got a veteran quarterback that actually is going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, look at the last six quarterbacks he coached. It was Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota, Russell Wilson, and Justin Fields. So maybe Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good by the end of last year, just in terms of getting around a little bit.
Sure.
And he had his big receiver there is his
Devontae Adams. Black.
Yeah, so listen, we could sit here and ramble on about 32 NFL teams and what they can and cannot do. I think it's interesting we didn't mention Tampa Bay, but they're the great conversation because you didn't mention them as a 25th roster or a 30th or whatever, and that's exactly where they
– I think they were 12th or so in that ranking. Did you see the videos of their rookie defensive lineman who weighs north of 450 pounds? He's not allowed to practice because it's so hot outside. So he's just walking around. I think he had a weight vest on, which seems a little bit aggressive.
Biggest ever, right?
Yeah, he can't practice.
Ever. All right, let's do our 9 and 9. Lots to get to. You got to mention what happened in New York City last night. The police investigating the shooter that took his own life after reportedly six are dead. Or five dead.
Four are killed, five dead, including the shooter. The shooter in Manhattan was targeting the NFL headquarters. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he actually ended up in the wrong elevator bank, which put him up on the 33rd floor where he decided to take his own life. But that's being reported widely. ESPN has it. And there was an NFL employee who Roger Goodell put out a statement this morning that said was seriously injured, but he is now in stable condition.
A suicide note that referenced CTE and the lack of the lack of attention to that disease by the National Football League. They said he had a history of mental health issues, and now they're saying Rudin management, where he ended up taking people's lives, was the wrong elevator bank. He simply got on the wrong elevators. He took people out in the lobby and tried to get to the NFL office. Absolutely terrifying across the board for the folks in the building, the folks who lost their life, and the fact that the NFL now probably knows that that gentleman was headed to the NFL offices to kill as many employees as he could.
Yeah, terrifying. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Los Angeles at NFL Media Headquarters, and there were 15 people from league offices on Park Avenue out there taking care of us and sparing no expense to support former and current players.
Thoughts and prayers with everybody around the league and in that building with that. Braves win last night, pretty good win, 10-7. Ozuna, Riley, and Acuna all homer in that one.
That's right. Spencer Strider went five innings, seven hits, two earned runs. Rest in peace, Ryan Sandberg. Cubs legend passed away yesterday at the age of 65 with a battle metastatic prostate cancer. And in good news, we were worried about this one, Deion Sanders announces he's cancer-free after battling bladder cancer throughout the offseason, so he will be back in the fold on the sideline for Colorado this upcoming season.
Yeah, and a guy with a new lease on life, given what he has been through. We are live at Flowery Branch. I'm Steak Shapiro. That is Drew Butler. When we come back, I'm going to ask Drew a simple question. Is Michael Penix really a rookie trying to find his way? He's only played three games in the NFL, or can we expect bigger things from him? It's the Steakhouse, fastest 2 minutes in radio on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. It's the Steakhouse. Follow us on social media at Steak Shapiro, at Drew Butler. We have a phenomenal 2 hours they give us every day. Rusty Manziel will help solidify that tomorrow on Rusty Rocks. A lot of big plans for later in the week we'll tell you about as well. As we are live at Falcons, we'll be back here Thursday as well. Great crowd showing up here today.
People are fired up, and I believe the temperature has risen like 8 to 10 degrees in the last 5 minutes.
Well, it's going to be a steamer. Yesterday, one of the worst heat indexes in Atlanta history. I would compare walking out of an air-conditioned office over there. We're on the west side at Chattahoochee, the bread and butter headquarters, that at 4 in the afternoon, when you open that back door and you've been in meetings all day and you walk outside, you're like, this is what a sauna feels like, legitimately.
Yeah, of course.
There's a heat that is oppressive, and everybody be careful out there. A beautiful day to enjoy your AC and binge watch your favorite show later in the day. Maybe cancel that pickle game if you're a big fella. I don't know if 18 holes of golf at 2 in the afternoon makes sense today, if it's card path only.
That's true. Have you seen the forecast for this weekend?
No.
The high on Saturday is 78. The high on Sunday is 75. Monday is 79.
Oh, my God.
Lows are in the mid-60s. I guess some cold front is pushing through.
I'll take it, dude.
So there will be a big reprieve this weekend.
78 high.
Yes.
So I'm headed to New Orleans, which is the all-time steam box. I'm dropping my daughter off at college, and I was just assuming that I'm going to be one of those dads with the enormous sweat stains climbing upstairs, you know, moving my daughter in. It was funny when I was moving Sophie in 2 years ago, and a bunch of listeners saw me. I had to carry a couch up. My buddy, I forget who hooked us up, Turtle or somebody, and I was schlepping up. You couldn't get it in. It was too big for the elevator. It was like a tiny, ottoman of some kind. And it was not pretty, dude. It was just a big bald man sweating unattractively. Hey, Stakey! How you doing, man? What's happening? So I just assumed New Orleans would be the same, but maybe we'll get a catch a break. I was going to ask a couple of things. I want to go back to this ranking and talk a little bit
about
rookie.
Please.
So you are All-American punter at Georgia. What year is that?
That was 2007 to 2011.
And did you think you were getting drafted?
I did. I thought I was going to get drafted. I believe I had 8 private workouts. I went to the Senior Bowl. I went to the Combine, did the whole thing. I thought I was going to go to the Carolina Panthers. That's what I thought. A couple of other teams were interested.
Your agent told you this?
We had a lot of conversations. The Panthers worked me out twice. They were right up the road. They were not re-signing their veteran punter, so they were going to have an opening. And I had a draft party at my house, which turned into an undrafted party.
So was that on the third day?
Yeah, of course. That was on the third day, the Saturday, which was rounds 4 through 7.
I'm not being flippant.
No, of course.
I've never heard of a third day draft party. I would think it's kind of hanging in the balance at that point.
Yeah, but you know, as a specialist, rounds 4 through 7, you're hoping that's where you're going to end up.
I'm hoping that Kevin Butler didn't bring in a bunch of people from Chicago for the big draft party on day 3.
We enjoyed some golf in the morning and some light snacks.
So let me ask you a couple questions. So how often in the course of the average National Football League draft, how many punters are drafted in the 7 rounds?
Well, really, it just depends year by year.
Yeah, what's the average?
Average is probably less than 2 a year.
Okay, less than 2 a year.
Yeah.
Some years, none?
Correct.
Okay, so we always hear late, you're better off late just being a free agent, although you know if you're drafted that you're slated to be the top punter if someone's leaving.
Right.
So you wanted to get drafted by Carolina. It didn't happen.
Yes, that's correct. They drafted the punter from
Wisconsin,
Brad Norman.
So why do you go to Pittsburgh?
So a lot of teams start calling late. The Steelers call, hey, we got a couple of picks in the 7th round. We might take you. The Indianapolis Colts had called. They had Pat McAfee at the time. Hey, we're looking to bring somebody in. I wasn't really that interested in going there. I forget the other teams.
Somebody in there, to hold his helmet for him?
Yeah, who knows. But, you know, we had an unbelievable specialist class that year.
Okay.
I want to say, like, close to 10 kickers and punters made
wow.
teams
okay.
That rookie year.
So were you just offered more in Pittsburgh to show
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I mean, they offered me a whopping $5,000 signing bonus, which I took.
Hey, our buddy David Andrews, who was undrafted.
Yeah.
Falcons, I think, offered $25,000 or $30,000. The New England Patriots offered $45,000.
Wow, good for
and
him.
And he just went for the money.
Of course.
Because he didn't know if he'd play in the NFL.
Of course.
And then he was captain of 3 Super Bowl teams.
I mean, I told my coaches when I got to Pittsburgh, hey, I got a $5,000 signing bonus. They didn't believe me. No, you didn't. We don't give signing bonuses to kickers and punters. I said,
yeah.
It was $5,000.
All right, so that you went there because of that.
No, not because of that. I thought it was the best chance for me to
make
the team.
So do you remember how nervous you were day one? Do you remember?
Rookie minicamp. You're going for rookie minicamp. It was really incredible. I mean, the Steelers are an unbelievable franchise, as most everybody knows. And then you go to Latrobe for training camp, fans everywhere. History everywhere. You know, back then, my rookie year, Ben Roethlisberger, Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, Ryan Clark.
I mean,
Hall of Famers left and right.
So you show up.
Yeah.
I would think as a undrafted punter, like you coach anybody at a new organization, I don't care if it's your office or an intern or whatever, your job was to, you know, pretty much stay in the background, keep your mouth shut, and just go do your job.
Sure, yeah, right. Obviously.
So
don't mess up was my job.
Right.
I mean, you're taking live
so
reps, field goal team, you're the holder, you're doing punt team, you're repping a bunch, two sides.
How nervous are you? That those first week, and do you remember?
I wasn't really that nervous, to be 100% honest.
Did you feel good about beating the kid out in front of you?
He was really good. He ended up getting injured, and then I was kicking well enough to where they did not bring another person into training camp, so I got all the reps in training camp. Hell, I had like 45 punts through 4 games, so I felt really, really good to go at that point.
Yeah, how many?
I think like 45 punts in the first 4 preseason games. It was insane.
What do you mean, 45 punts? What are you putting, like 9 times a game?
I want to say it was, yeah. I mean,
what?
Yes. It was insane.
Did Mike Tomlin ever talk to you?
Yeah. Mike Tomlin talked to me a lot. You know, Chris Boswell, the kicker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he was on a podcast recently talking about, you know, he was like the 5th kicker through a string of kickers that could not last.
Right.
He's been there forever. And they're like, well, what happened? He goes, man, first day I showed up, I'm taking live reps in practice, and James Harrison, Debo, the meanest guy in the NFL,
yeah, absolutely,
is literally standing over the holder, live reps during practice and saying out loud, if you miss this kick, you got to wash my back in the shower after this.
Oh, my God.
And these podcast guys are laughing. And he's like, no, I swear to God, that's what happened. They're like, do you think that made you a better kicker? He's like,
no doubt.
Well, when you walk in and you got Hall of Famers chirping you to do your job.
Dude, no doubt.
Of course, it hardens you a bit, so.
Well, I don't say hard. You like what does any great coach try to create in practice?
Oh, Mike Tomlin used to stand next to me the entire time, chirping me the entire time.
So you are kicking 45 times. Did you talk to your dad every night and say, I think it's looking better and better? This kid got injured.
No. Yeah, I mean, we obviously had a bunch of conversations. He ends up coming to, I think, two of the preseason games that year. Historically, the Steelers always play the Panthers in their last preseason game, so he came up for that, and the Steelers told me, hey, this is your opportunity. They were very upfront.
If you do well,
you're going to make the team. If you don't, we're going to cut you.
Do you remember one or two great punts in preseason that said, I'm going to be in the NFL?
Yeah, it was actually my last punt in the fourth game after the two-minute warning late. Stadium's completely emptied out. Joe Adams is the return man, who was an All-American at Arkansas. I played against him in college. Timeout. We're out there. They call us off the field. A super, super long wait. And it's like a close game. And I'm sitting there like chewing over this punt. And I pretty much had told myself at this moment, you got to get a good punt off, because if you don't hit this one well, they're going to cut you. Hit like a really nice around 50-yard fair catch punt. Beautiful spiral turned over. You know, got a dap up from my coach on the sideline afterwards. I think that just
got
me the job. Yeah.
So you go from 5,000 to what? What's your first salary?
Rookie salary. My first year was $390,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice first year job out of college.
No doubt.
$390,000 as an undrafted
punter.
And
I believe now the rookie salary is $795,000.
That's the minimum.
Yeah.
That's a great story. We've been together 3 years. I don't think I've ever heard the whole Steeler thing. So kudos to you. We are going to get to a bunch of stuff. I just went through.
First game ever, Sunday Night Football, Steelers at Broncos. Peyton Manning's first game as a Denver Bronco. Crazy scenes. Al Michaels walks up to me midfield, introduces himself. I did a lot of your dad's games. Great to meet you. Congratulations. And then Ben Roethlisberger threw a pick six late in the fourth quarter. It was one of the loudest NFL stadiums I've ever been in.
Wow.
They went crazy.
Wow, yeah, I've been in there. When they start banging.
They went crazy.
Yeah, that Denver crowd. How nervous were you for that game?
I was pretty nervous for that game. Deep breath, Sunday Night Football. But, you know, as playing for the Steelers, you're on prime time almost every week. That's
I just love that you're in all those Mike Tomlin meeting rooms. I mean,
oh, I've got unbelievable Coach Tomlin stories.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, and we could tell it at a later date, but I won a bunch of money off of what was, I think, six Florida Gators my rookie year. They all saw blood in the water, Georgia, Florida. Florida was ranked 2 or 3 in the country. That's the game Jarvis Jones punched the ball out of Jordan Reed's hands. So we started the team meeting that night by Coach Tomlin saying, I want Drew Butler to stand up and tell everybody how much money he just won off the Florida Gators in the room. And it was like
$5,000. So fun.
Cash. Good stuff.
Awesome story. Who are the Gator guys there?
Marquise Pouncey, who will be a Hall of Famer. He's going into the Steelers Ring of Honor. Chris Rainey was a rookie with me. Marcus Gilbert was a big-time player as well. And there was a couple of others that are slipping my mind at the moment. But those guys love to talk. The Gators love
to talk.
They ain't talking
much easier.
No, they're not.
Hey, we'll talk more about Georgia. They're getting ready to start training camp. I loved our conversation yesterday, really getting in a groove to talk about that Georgia wide receivers. We turn our attention to the Georgia running backs. It's running back you. Drew Butler will tell you who in that group are you going to be wearing their jersey up in the stands. We'll talk about that and more on the Falcons rookies. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just in the break, you know. Drew knows sometimes in the break, I don't know, you never know what I'm going to do. Start planning a lunch, where I'm going to go eat a, you know, Reuben sandwich.
Reuben does sound pretty good.
Listening to Broadway musicals to calm me down, you know. But today we're actually talking football here.
Yeah, we are.
Lot to get to, and it's great to be live in Flowery Branch. Thanks to Mike Conti, the Falcons organization. Incredible setup right by the weight room here. Looking straight through the weight room that's brand new into the practice field where there's a great crowd this morning, just to set the scene for you. I got a lot on my mind. a lot on my mind, so I want to organize my ADHD. First, let's go back to the rankings. So ESPN, they had that out, had the rankings of the 32 rosters in the National Football League.
Right, just rosters.
Nobody will ever rank them worse than the ESPN did. I think they were 28th, is that right?
26th.
26th out of 32. Basically, you know, using Michael Penix to say, how could you have him any higher when you have a quarterback that is the definition of unproven? Then there is Pro Football Focus, which highly respected by most folks, right? Where typical teams at the top, right? Philadelphia Eagles, they have as number one. Ravens were number one on the ESPN. Ravens are two in this one. Then, given their offseason, Lions are three, Chiefs are four. The Chiefs are four, I apologize. Buffalo Bills, no surprise there, is at five. The Rams are at six. Houston Texans really have built a juggernaut at seven. The Vikings and their group is listed as eight. Number nine is the Denver Broncos, and what Sean Payton has put together there, they have the best defense, one of them in the NFL last year, and the highest-ranked offensive line, or right up there in the NFL. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 10th.
How about this? ESPN just released a ranking for every NFL team by roster under the age of 25. The Falcons are ranked 22nd. Here's the big caveat. Michael Penix Jr. is 25. He's not under 25.
Okay. So
one of your biggest young pieces that you're expecting a lot from do not fall into that category. The two biggest blue chip players are Bijan and Drake.
Yeah, the Falcons are 16th in PFF.
I think that's where they probably deserve to be.
For the second time in three seasons, the Falcons are the owners of the NFL's highest graded offensive line with Chris Lindstrom. They talk about, obviously, the rookie to watch being James Pierce Jr.
Yes.
He's exactly the type of athletic outside linebacker that Raheem Morris is the reason the team gave up a 2026 first rounder. Expect him to get reps early. Expect him to get reps often. They like him is the reason why that defense is way up there with Jalen Walker. The three of us were just talking here about James Pierce Jr. What is going on? What is he trying to do? Another two altercations over the weekend and yesterday. So what's happening?
He's trying to assert dominance. He's trying to create an attitude. He's trying to prove to himself and to the coaches and to the entire team, I'm him. You drafted me for a reason, to get after the quarterback. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Okay. I'm sure he's had plenty of conversations with Jeff Ulbrich, and I'm sure he had a lot of conversations with Raheem and Terry Fontenot throughout the entire pre-draft process, to which they said, we want to draft you. We're going to take you in the first round, and here is what we need you to do. And I'm sure James Pierce, who by all measures has a very high football IQ, watches the Falcons, sees what they did last year, and said, man, this team is missing
so
a lot.
So why is he going after the two alpha males?
Because he
can.
So
he's going after Caleb, right?
Because he can.
And who's the other one?
Matthew Bergeron.
Matthew Bergeron.
Why wouldn't he? Hey, I'm him. I'm the guy that you're trying to get
better
against.
What is the most likely reason? It's not the offensive line because they're veteran players. Well, certainly Bergeron's what, third-year player? And then Caleb, I think, fifth-year player. And Caleb's got a major chip on his shoulder. So they're probably in 95-degree heat looking at him, who's probably going a little after the whistle.
Yeah.
Probably going harder than they would think. They're in full pads. Is it today?
Yeah.
And they're like, you need to slow the down, Rook.
And he probably says,
he
too bad,
care.
Buddy. Yeah. No.
So you love it.
I absolutely
so
love it.
So let's be realistic.
I absolutely love it.
Let's be realistic. If the Atlanta Falcons win the division, which would put them in a home game and a chance to get to the second round of the playoffs, everybody has Tampa ahead of them. Tampa's a top 10 or top 15 roster. It's going to have to look a lot like last year's Los Angeles Rams, separate of Matthew Stafford, Michael Penix.
Yes.
It was Braden Fisk and
Jared Verse.
Two first round, both first
Braden
rounders.
Braden Fisk was in the third round.
Florida State, right?
Second round, 39th pick is Braden Fisk.
So Braden Fisk and Jared Verse. How realistic is to think? And by the way, the Rams were damn close to getting to the NFC title game.
Yes.
They were in played Philadelphia,
Philly in the
played
snow.
All the way down the
right.
field and everything else. So are they both on the all-rookie team, you said?
They're both on the 2024 all-rookie team, Braden Fisk and Jared Verse for the Rams. Coincidentally, the team that won the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles, they had two defensive back rookies who made the all-rookie team, and they ended up winning the Lombardi Trophy, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. The reason we bring this up is to say Terry Fontenot was on the morning shift earlier, and he said we did one thing that we needed to do in our draft. We got two pass rushers. We got two ball hawks. I loved hearing that. You see on the all-rookie team last year, there's two pass rushers. There's two ball hawks. I'm not saying all four Atlanta Falcons rookies are going
to
be
that he's referring to.
Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts.
Right.
I'm not saying all four of these guys are going to make the all-rookie team, but what we are saying is that your rookies can make an immediate impact and help you take a deep postseason run.
So if you think about Michael Penix Jr., and I asked you the question over Dunkin' Donuts getting a coffee, do you consider him a rookie? Is if an NFL, opinion guy, right, NFL, you know, says, hey, you got to look at Penix as a rook. He's only started three games. Why would we look at him as anything but that? You know, you say what to that?
I say no, he's not a rookie. I mean, the three games that he got experience in last year, the Falcons scored way more points than they had been the previous 6 weeks or so. That Sunday night football game in prime time with the playoffs on the line, that is a huge spot to which he marched the team down the field, scored a touchdown to Kyle Pitts, and pushed the game into overtime. Also, his age stake.
Yep.
He's 25 years old.
Yep.
He started 40-plus games in college. This is a guy who's been in the building for a year. He got his reps on the field last year in meaningful games.
Dude, he beat think about the games to get to the national title. Think about being Oregon twice that
year,
right?
Dude, he shredded Texas.
Texas.
Remember that game?
Yes. And beat Oregon twice that year, too, right?
Yes.
He wasn't right for the national title game because he hung in there against Texas and absolutely torched him, right?
One of the best games of that college football season.
So he is a veteran, older quarterback. If you have a 21-year-old quarterback that maybe played 2 years of starting at college football and you roll him in there for three games in garbage time the year before, it is completely different than rolling out a guy that is 25 years old that played in three playoff game situations. They had to win every one of those games, which they didn't. They lost two out of three. The Panther game, of course, a nightmare. They played well against Washington. And you think of the amount of games under a national spotlight. All due respect, it's not a Miami of Ohio kid coming in with a big arm.
100%.
This is a guy that is playing in the biggest games of the year, playing in front of massive semifinal national title crowds. And get those games against Oregon, legendary. And then you start three games in the NFL.
So what are the expectations for this Falcons offense handing the keys over to Michael Penix Jr.? More high-powered. Now he's in his second season of Zach Robinson's offense. You kind of saw what they were able to do in those three games a year ago. Is there any chance that this team could average 28 to potentially 30 points a game? If that does happen, that helps one thing and one thing only, which is potentially the most important to this franchise heading into 2025. You start putting a lot of points on the board. You get into these shootouts, and guess what the other team has to do? Press the ball down the field. Take shots. Who does that help? Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., pinning your ears back, rushing the passer in clear throwing situations, and then your young guys, right? Your Xavier Watts, your Billy Bowmans, and your proven guys like an A.J. Terrell, they're going to have more opportunities to create turnovers, get interceptions. I love that style of football in this day and age, and the Falcons seemingly, with the roster that they've built, have the opportunity to play that type of game, which to me, again, we've talked about it. We've set up the scenario. Late fourth quarter, it's 31-27. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is jumping, right? It's packed. It's loud. It's third and long. James Pierce Jr., Leonard Floyd, Jalen Walker in a clear pass rushing situation. Let's do it.
So my take is going to be that we're not scoring 30 points a game, but we are going to do. Here's what we know, right? The most touches in the NFL this year is probably going to be Bijan Robinson, right?
Yes.
Everything they do runs through Bijan. Bijan hasn't had a 60-yard play yet, you know, in his career. He what he does is wear you down. Now, Michael Penix Jr., most accurate in college, 20 yards down the field.
Yep.
So my notion is they are just going to pound the ball because of Tyler and Bijan. Bijan is going to catch 6-8 a game. He's going to run it 18 times a game. They're not going to be a 30-point a night. What they are going to do is cause nightmares, because when you start throwing the ball downfield a few times to Drake London, you really are in trouble trying to control Bijan.
Yeah, you're going
to
soften up that defense.
And the reason I say we're not scoring that many is because Bijan needs touches.
Uh-huh.
You know, Bijan is going to be McCaffrey from, you know, his entire career the last 3 years.
I think I saw Bijan's total touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, maybe 9.5 stake, and I was listening to a show, and they said I would lean, this is rushing touchdowns, probably lean under because Algier closer to the goal line, more of a ground and pound. Bijan's a bit more versatile out of the backfield.
Well, yeah, they're also going to run the little shuffle play to Bijan. That's a pass.
Right.
They're going to run the 4-yard screen inside the 10, get four linemen running down towards the end zone.
Right.
But I just think the reason we could be dynamic is back to Drake, Darnell, Ray McCloud to a degree, but certainly Algiers, Bijan, and Michael Penix. That's a lot. If you have a coordinator that understands how to use these guys, that is a lot to deal with.
Yeah, just go back and watch some of the clips on social media that have been edited to show Michael Penix Jr. chucking the ball down the field through tight coverage windows on the sidelines where only Drake London can catch it, where only Darnell Mooney can catch it. In traffic, that throw against the Commanders to Kyle Pitts where only Kyle Pitts can catch it. He's got what it takes to make this a very dual-threat offense, and I love what you said. Soften up that defense, take shots down the field,
and
then let Bijan go.
Bijan and Algiers, listen, Arthur Smith, the one thing when he was winning games are those 9- and 10-minute drives with Desmond Ridder because he had Algiers and Bijan. He just kept giving him the ball. So, you know, I think a lot has to go wrong for this offense to not be really tough. Let's do a really quick tailgate. We'll talk some Georgia running backs on Sports Radio 92.9. I want to talk about tailback you and what Georgia fans can get ready for.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you kind of start with a guy like Nate Frazier. Of course, he's going to be your starter going into his sophomore year out of California. He's fast, but he's also physical. He'll set the pace this year. I'm sure Kirby Smart, Mike Bobo, Stacy Searles, happy to have him back in the fold. Cannot forget about Cash Jones. Cash Jones, oftentimes your third down running back.
Yeah.
He gets put in there a lot more in passing situations.
He's dependable. He had to earn his carries, man.
He's dependable in pass blocking as well. So I think Cash is certainly your go-to second stringer. Can Roderick Robinson stay healthy? He's got to stay healthy. This is his opportunity to have a meaningful season in the backfield for Georgia. So I would definitely look out for a big, big breakout year for Roderick Robinson, given his health. And you got to think, man, it's going to be tough to see Branson Robinson not in Georgia. He transferred out.
Yeah.
I know Georgia tried to keep him around, but for obvious reasons, he went to greener pastures, he thinks. But Georgia's going to be
okay. Where is Branson Robinson?
Branson Robinson went to...
Well, yeah. Never ask a question. We don't know the answer. I just assume
Georgia State with Del McGee.
Okay. Well, we know what they're going to be doing. It's pounding the football with him.
That's right.
Listen, a lot of times you're going to have all the hype in the world and come in and you just can't stay healthy. You can't get right. You can't get the carries. Can't earn them. And at Georgia, obviously, the dynamic wide receivers.
Zachariah Branch, Noah Thomas. I mean, people are forgetting about Dylan Bell.
Yeah.
Dylan Bell, who is one of the most versatile guys that Georgia has.
And a big play type guy. They got to fix the drops, obviously. We talked about Gunnar Stockton. Rest of the week, we'll look at the Georgia defense as Kirby gets camps cranked up as well. Lots to get to. There is a gambling scandal in baseball, which is absolutely going to make everybody around professional sports take notes. And how could one guy be this dumb? How could one guy – why don't you just emblazon on your forehead, I'm on the take.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid to throw balls. Drew Butler, Steak Shapiro, live at Falcons training camp on a beautiful, albeit warm, Tuesday morning. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. The Butlerettes are roaming around.
We got the whole crew here.
I mean, that's a beautiful group of young ladies, especially Mommy. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Jackie's looking great.
Yeah, I mean, and then
Bridget, Kara, and
who's
Olivia.
Who's the one that had their tonsils? I'll raise your hand if you had your tonsils. Yep, there she is.
Miss Kara.
She does not look like she is worse the wear right now, right?
No, she had a great recovery. I think today's day 11, so we're back to solid foods and getting out of the house. And
how far away are you from here?
I think it took me, what are we, like 21 miles maybe? Johns Creek, maybe a little bit less than that. Straight down Peachtree Industrial, or you can jump on 985 and get up here to Flowery Branch.
So we're live at Flowery Branch. It's funny because I'm sitting here watching Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. They're right through the glass here. And the wild thing, and I'll say I coined this a long time ago, and I'm not that talented or better than anybody else at the sports talk game, but I did say the beauty of what we do for a living, particularly the National Football League, is that it is the greatest reality show that there is.
100%.
And I know Kim Zolciak, and we all know Nene and Candy Burris or any of those girls from L.A. and everything else. Those are called reality shows, right? Well, they do about 5 takes for that hair-pulling incident on Peachtree or whatever.
You know what I
mean? The beauty of sports and the National Football League is just like last year, and I say this every training camp, there is going to be a storyline of this season that nobody could have ever envisioned in a million years, because that's how sports is. It does not follow a pattern. A lot of times what you say is going to be the trajectory is not that. Nobody thought Jaden Daniels had the bingo card for being clearly the best rookie, could almost take his team to the Super Bowl. Nobody had the Bears being as bad as they were last year. They're just talking about rookies. You certainly didn't have Kirk Cousins being benched and run out of town when the entire offseason all we talked about was that. And I'm looking at Cousins here, and I said to Drew, I go, dude, they're one little tweak, and I'm not trying to jinx it, but that's the reality. Listen, the Braves have 5 starters.
Yeah, exactly.
The 5 starters the Braves had to start the season are all on the injured list, right? All 5 of them. That's why the excitement around Carlos Carrasco, who they got from the Yankees, is so fervent.
Yeah, you're not trying to jinx it. It's just the reality. This is the NFL. People get hurt. Kirk Cousins got hurt last year midseason against the Saints. And
there is a very good chance that Kirk Cousins is playing in an impactful game in the Mercedes-Benz when the fans are going to watch him run on the field, probably to some boos and some cheers, and that Kirk Cousins may decide the fate of the Atlanta Falcons. Or Michael Penix has a smooth 17-game run that we don't have to worry about.
Maybe, man.
Maybe we go 10-7.
But What's the ceiling? Because, I mean, Abe Gordon's on here with me last week, and I mean, he's talking about 17-0. You know, I'm like, Abe, hold your horses.
What does he really say, though?
I think he said the ceiling was, like, legitimately 13-4. I'm like, dude, and he's saying, but he caveated it, you're talking everything goes perfect. Everything goes perfect.
Okay, but he's a pretty bright guy. When's the last time? The Philadelphia Eagles last year were the closest thing to everything going perfect.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And I think they lost week 2 to the Falcons on Kirk Cousins going down the field. But, like, in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles franchise, that was the greatest season of all time. Everything went perfect. You know, they got the best pickup at tailback. Their quarterback absolutely was dominant. They had rookies all over the place. The Georgia Bulldogs. Like, just have a realistic conversation. There's nothing about this dreadful defense from the last 3 years that's going to say everything's going to go perfect. What does that mean? You're not going to have 2 rookies where everything goes perfect, right? And you're not going to have an injury.
You could. The Rams did last year with Braden Fisk and Jared Verse. And the Eagles did with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. The Texans did with CJ Stroud and Will Anderson.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So, like, you know, and to Abe's point, we had people calling in saying, okay, well, if that happens, then we got a real shot at this thing.
Then we are absolutely the upside. The absolute upside.
That was his point.
Is 11-6.
Okay.
11-6 because of the schedule.
I would much rather subscribe to an 11-6 expectation than a 13-4.
Dude, what is 13-4? In what conference is he talking about? Like, you know, this isn't soccer where you get relegated to a lower league. So
he wanted 17-0. I had to talk him back to 13.
But in having a realistic conversation. But my point is, we have no idea what guy's going to get injured, who's going to come in. We have no idea when they're like, didn't see this coming. Bijan was out 5 games, and Tyler Allgeier ran for 140 4 games in a row.
Right.
Like, we don't know what's going to
happen.
Like, Kirk Cousins filled in middle of the season. He had a 10-touchdown, 2-interception, and then he had to get back to Michael. I mean, anything, like, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Think about Andy. Who had Bo Nix in the Broncos absolutely steamrolling folks after, was it 2 years ago they gave up the 70 points?
Yeah, to the Dolphins.
Right. To Tua Tagovailoa, right?
Correct.
Who had that? Who had Gerard Mayo lasting one season?
1 and done.
The guy sat as a apprentice. No, he wasn't an apprentice because that means Belichick was
coach in waiting.
Yeah, the coach in waiting for years. Years. They dusted him off and kicked him out the door. Who had Mike McDaniels being the most maligned coach in football 3 years ago? He was a genius. There's storylines that we don't see coming. The only storyline I feel pretty safe to say is the New Orleans Saints are going to be horrible.
Right.
That's the worst roster in the NFL. That's the worst roster. I don't know that Carolina can't be really good. I don't know that Tampa takes a step back, but I don't know that we can't be better than them. But, I mean, that's the beauty of where we are. But the great reality show is the National Football League, which is why you could put cameras on any team, on any season, and have 7 episodes of great television. Like, the NFL understands that. Whether
it's going to be great television Thursday night in the Hall of Fame game with a bunch of no-names out there.
Game?
It's in Canton, Ohio, Lions, Chargers.
Where's that game going to be televised?
Is NBC.
That... Oh.
Do a huge number.
Yeah. Of course there will. There'll be a point.
Tirico and Collinsworth.
All right, let's talk about what's a pretty significant scandal.
This is a huge scandal. Luis Ortiz, pitcher in Major League Baseball for the Cleveland Guardians. He has been placed on paid leave, after the MLB's investigation has found that he received action flagged by a betting integrity firm on first pitches. And To start the game,
so,
or to start, I believe, certain innings as well. And people are diving in, and it does not look good. A lot of these pitches are deemed uncompetitive. I'm talking throwing this thing into the dirt way outside of even the batter's box, way outside of the plate. And these betting integrity firms, again, this goes to one of the positives to legalizing sports gambling, is when you legalize it, these betting integrity firms have all of the data in their possession. And when there is an influx of first pitch action on Luis Ortiz, and he continues to throw these uncompetitive balls, they put a red flag up and say, we need to look into this. He's now been placed on paid
leave.
Dude,
that is so
scary. And they
are
investigating accordingly.
Like, that's the definition of where there's smoke, there's fire. The league, when the league makes a gesture along that, along those lines, and again, with prop bets in professional sports, with the access to gambling being legal, or at least having access to it, right? This is just going to be an ongoing challenge.
We're watching one of the pitches right here. That's one of them, and here's the other one. I mean, this thing is, I mean, it looks
like.
It landed,
what is it, 90 feet? It landed 30 feet from his hand.
Yeah, I mean, the catcher didn't even get it in his glove.
And it's the first pitch of a third inning game is what they're showing. Do you know how confident they have to be that there's something happening to put him on paid leave? Like, they must have looked. Look at 5 pitches. Okay, let's look at 7.
Yeah.
Now let's look at 10. And, like, 84% or 83% are balls to start the inning or to start the game. And how many of those are uncompetitive? Jonte Porter of the Raptors was banned for life due to violations of the league's gambling rules, where clearly it was prop bets that seemed to be you know, in the mix here. And if you don't know what prop bets are, guys, you can bet on absolutely everything. Major League Sports is trying to get that you can bet on every pitch in baseball. You can bet on every down. So the idea is you have a controller in your hand.
You can bet on every hole in golf. What will he make on hole 8, par, bogey, birdie?
There's an NFL game, and it's 3rd and 6, and you'll have an over-under on that play. And then you'll have an over-under on the punt. And then you'll have, will they fake it here, and you'll get 10-1 odds. That is the notion, because if you know anything about gambling, it's the VIG, it's the 10% you pay, that's the advantage. So they just want you to make as many bets as possible. I think I told you the story. My most wealthy friend was not a gambling degenerate by any means. He called up his bookie and he said, I want to put $1,000 on the Oakland Raiders. And he won it. Then he called back 3 weeks later. He said, I want to put $1,000 on the Chargers. And he lost it. Then he called back 4 weeks later. He said, I want to bet $1,000 on the New York Jets. And the guy said, we're done.
Yeah.
Not because he was getting cleaned out. He said, I'm not in the business of you to just take shots every 4 weeks.
Right.
I'm in the business of continuing to gamble,
yes.
Which is why you get measured at a casino by hours you gamble.
Correct.
Not by amount.
Correct.
So if
how long do you
how
play?
How long do you play? Because when the house has the edge, and there's no bigger house edge in sports gambling where you give up 10%, right? The VIG is 10%.
That's right.
So if you're making 10 bets, 15 bets, 20 bets, you're going to lose. Doesn't matter. The guy who wins the tournament in Vegas wins 58% of his games. That's it.
Yeah.
The sports gambling. So
Chris Clark brings up a great point. What's the bigger scandal? The fact that nothing happened to Shohei, or the fact that they're going to go over these no-name pitchers and try to suspend them? I mean, the Shohei Ohtani scandal with his quote-unquote translator got swept way under the rug for obvious reasons.
The greatest,
it's one of your biggest superstars in the world.
One of
sports
the top
right
five
now.
Players in Major League history. Why is he that? I don't know. He's pitching and he's batting in this era,
yeah.
Right?
Throwing 99, I believe, upper 90s, right?
The fear of Rob Manfred when that came down the pike to say, the greatest commodity we have in baseball and all over the world, because we're not that compelling with our stars, and we get a guy that is selling out overnight watching games, right?
Yes.
In Asia. It's just, speaking of Rob Manfred, you hear what happened with him and Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I kind of like it from Bryce Harper. And I think it was Nick Castellanos who said, hey, man, this is Harp. He runs hot. He's been doing this since he was 15 years old. They said Manfred gave it back to Harper inside the clubhouse, and the argument was around Rob Manfred, MLB commissioner, insinuating that he might be open to talks with MLB owners about implementing a salary cap.
Yeah, Bryce Harper said, if you're going to talk about a cap, get the F out of our locker
room.
Good
for him.
And Rob Manfred, I mean,
good for Bryce Harper. You know what? He pays to be in a union. The MLB Players Association has the strongest union in all of sports. That is the biggest thing that they have, the fact that there's no salary cap.
Right.
Of course the players don't want a salary cap. They're going to make way more money. So when he's talking to the commissioner, who is essentially the
sports
enemy of the Players Association,
yeah,
Bryce Harper has every right to be like, dude, get out of my clubhouse.
Rob Manfred's an old man. You got the mother blank him that badly.
But let me tell you one thing. Nobody's MFing Roger Goodell, because Roger Goodell probably knows better than to say in a locker room, hey, guys, we're going to go to 18 games. What do you feel about that? Players would be like, dude, get out of here. We're not talking about
Manfred's that. Manfred's point is we need to have a conversation about it. And Harper said, if that's the conversation you want to have, get
out.
Body. And Rob Manfred says, I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, dude.
And they had to be restrained.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, Rob Manfred can't tuck his tail between his leg and sneak out the door.
Right.
Commissioner,
he's got to stick up for himself as
well. Yeah, so high drama, though. I agree.
I love it.
High drama. When we come back, lots more to get to. Braves won a game last night. I think that's something. Not sure. Also, why the month of September will tell us whether Steak and Drew will be covering one of those. You know how we do those special 3-hour pregames before, like, the SEC
Sunday
title
Night Football?
Or,
yeah, for sure. Are we going to do that?
We're going to do one for the playoffs. Conti wants us. But we'll find out in September if we're going to be working in January, and I'll tell you why when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Flowery Branch. Tomorrow, back in studio, Rusty Manziel will be hanging out with us. Always great to have Drew back-to-back days, hanging out with his beautiful three ladies.
Yeah, that was great. Stop by. I mean,
I got a photo.
It is
with
a hot day
them.
At training camp, but they wanted to come see Uncle Steaky.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a
brought you some gifts, wanted to take pictures.
I love they colored some things for me. I miss having girls that age. I'm not going to lie to you. Dad's listening now. Can probably relate. My daughter is headed to Tulane. So she's my baby girl. So I'm dropping her off at college. Let's just say as I was flying back from our little vacation, I had to, you know, big guy's not going to cry in front of the wife, right?
So yeah, you got to show strength at all times. We were zero fucking, vulnerability.
Yes. Try to hold it all in.
Yeah, just.
You know, create a lot of.
Press it down as deep as you possibly can.
Yeah, where do we get that from? Is it standard? Keep pressing it down. But we were taking off to head back to Atlanta, and I realized as soon as I land, I'm 5 days away. That's it.
Oh,
my girl's
man.
Gone. And
no.
I started to get. So I have a little verklempt. It's definitely not easy to think about. I little guy left. But listen, Bobby's a lot of fun. He doesn't treat me like the girls. You know what I mean? The girls, there's a hug coming every time since they were 1 year old, even at 20 and 18 now. So I have my game plan. I don't know if any dads can relate if you're listening. 404-726-0929, especially if you're dads of little girls. 404-726-0929. Kimberly is driving because they have a bunch of stuff for her dorm.
Of course.
I made it very clear I would love to be in that eight-hour drive, but I have to work. I mean, Atlanta, I can't take a day. They need, you know.
Bills have to get paid.
Yeah, and also it's just for the sake of Atlanta. You know, Fridays I do buy or sell. Why would I deprive the public of that? There's probably a smash burger I got to eat for Instagram. Like, I have to work.
You have a lot of responsibilities.
Yes, I do. So I'm flying. I'm meeting them in New Orleans. And then she's staying extra few days because her family's from Louisiana and she's going to be there. And I'm going to bring her in the dorm. She gets there early because she's dancing for Tulane on the Shockwave. And I've already plotted out because when Sophie got dropped off, the one moment that I could not handle outside her dorm. What did I tell you her dorm was up the hill there?
Brumby,
thank you. Is the three kids hugging each other in the parking lot, all three of them crying.
Oh, man.
Sophie, Nolan, Bobby. And I was like,
no.
I can't handle that. I got into my car. I was like out of Michael Clayton. You ever see that movie, just staring off into space? The end of Michael Clayton, the George Clooney movie. Except I had the tears going, and I said, I got to pull it together. My wife was still back there. So I can, you know, you got to, like you said, you got to hold those emotions. You cannot show it. So I've already told Noel this four times. It is going to be a quick goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, hey, great job today. I'll see you in a few weeks.
And I mean, I don't want to.
And then I'm going right to the airport.
I don't want to twist the dagger.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tangibly different considering, you know, when you said goodbye to Sophie, she's 50 minutes away.
I know.
You know, Noah's.
I know. I know. It's not.
I know. I'm here for you.
So, any dads out there have any advice? How's the best way to handle it? Get through it? Because that's exactly right. This is you know, end of an era. So, we can chat on that as well. Any
I got
dads
breaking news
advice?
From Falcons practice. Not really breaking, but if you want to know about the edge that the Atlanta Falcons could potentially bring into 2025, we talked about James Pierce Jr. mixing it up with some veteran offensive linemen, which I love. D-Led is reporting that there was a great catch by Drake London, who then looked right at D-Led and said to him, report that, D-Led. So he's reporting it. So Drake London just made a sick catch, right in front of D-Led and told D-Led to report that blank. I like that. You need the edge.
Rusty sent this to us. It's from Maria Martin, who does a fabulous job for WXIE. The fights on Sunday were a little too much for Raheem Morris's liking. Got a little too physical. He did say he liked seeing the intensity. He echoed Jeff Albrecht's sentiment, said it was encouraging that James Pierce Jr. got right back in there and contributed, even probably after getting a mouthful from his coaches.
Here, let me tell you exactly how this played out, okay? James Pierce Jr. has been challenged by his coaches, that'd be Jeff Albrecht and the defensive coaches, to show an edge, to be ultra competitive, to bring it on defense. He did that. He caused some fights. Raheem Morris, as the head coach, has to calm everybody down, make the public statements. James Pierce then has to say, hey, I might have got a little out of hand. And then guess what? That night in defensive meetings, Jeff Albrecht is looking at James Pierce Jr. saying, I love it. I want more of it. I'll continue to stick up for you. This is how it happens in the National Football League. There's no chance that Raheem Morris is going to say, calm down. Mike Tomlin used to say, I'd rather say whoa than sick 'em. I'd much rather say whoa like than sick 'em.
Hey,
you
want
to hold the leash rather than telling them to get after it.
10:29, the 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one pressure washing company. To a degree, that is the case. But you have to protect your veterans also. And Caleb McGarry's been through enough of these wars. Matthew Bergeron. At some point, you're going to say, youngster, take it down a notch, right? We're not winning any playoff games in July out here in the heat. But, yes, way better than the alternative. Who is the kid, the nightmare D lineman situation, that walked on stage, was drafted, picture of his mama?
Tack McKinley,
right? That we're like, oh, he's got the edge, man. He's kind of crazy.
Well, I mean,
he's
just put like, the tape on for James Pierce Jr. Like, look at the guy.
Did you hear Rusty when he talked to opposing SEC coach, who was the offensive coordinator, a couple of them, about James Pierce? No, he particularly mentioned it. Who is the Georgia offensive line?
Stacy Searles. Like, that kid's a problem.
Right. Told Rusty that.
Just like
that,
how
we game planned, he is, and he doesn't throw around compliments.
Just like how Nick Saban was on the NFL draft desk last year. And they said, who's the most pro-ready prospect in this draft? And he said, Brock Bowers. That kid's a problem.
Yeah, and
you
have
to game plan for 19.
And that's what they were saying about James Pierce for sure. So I'm just looking at over-unders around the National Football League. We can talk all you want about the ESPN Top 32.
Rankings.
Yeah, roster rankings.
Correct.
You can talk all you want about Pro Football Focus or Yahoo Sports. The only people that rank teams and have to study rosters for a living, and I don't mean like nobody's getting fired or hired or whatever.
Bookmakers.
Yeah, bookmakers, right? You know, if you got it wrong and you work for Yahoo Sports, they'll go, well, you paid for an opinion. If you get it wrong and you're a bookmaker and you put a number at 6.5 and it's way too low and the 80% of the public goes over and you lose, you're not going to be working in that book anymore. So just going through, it is a pretty much consensus that the two worst teams in the National Football League are the New Orleans Saints and the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
And quarterback at the top of both of those situations. Same with the Jets, right? Same with the Titans. Same with the Giants. The pattern is if you don't have a quarterback. So
5.5 wins. Titans. Saints. Giants.
Jets. And then you,
Browns.
Yeah, and then you start to get into it. Now, the Falcons' win total is 7.5.
Juiced heavily to the over.
Yes, so explain what that means.
That means that the books want you to put your over bet in at minus 165. If you bet $165 and the Falcons win 8 games, you win $100. If you think the Falcons will win less than 7.5 games, you bet the under. And if you bet $100, you get back $135.
Right. The point being, the consensus is that number is too low, and the Falcons will probably cover the number, but you're going to give up odds. So it's not even money on 7.5. They're heavy favorites to be over 7.5. Why not just set the number at 8? Because there will be too much money on the under.
Right.
Because they've had seven straight or 8 straight losing non-playoff season.
Yeah, 7 straight.
Right. 7 straight?
Correct.
Non-playoff losing seasons. So if they put it at 8, they think the public's going to jump on the under, and they want to keep it down the middle. If they go 7.5, but they make it more odds to bet, they make it more costly to bet the over, then they protect themselves. But overall, the Atlanta Falcons number is sitting at 7.5. Anybody else that jumps out of you? The Steelers, right? You look at that division. Right,
Cowboys 7.5. That's -150. So juice to 150.
Yeah, 8.5 is you get
a lot of chirp coming out about the Cowboys. Rams 9.5. I think that's kind of bullish. I mean, look, Matthew Stafford hasn't practiced yet, dealing with a little back injury. That might just be a vet play to give him.
Personnel, though, dude.
Might give him a little time to ease in. Patriots 8.5.
So the Patriots are 8.5 because the public wants to bet New England.
Plus 105.
They put that number so high, because there's going to be action on New England, and they know that number should really be 7.5, 7, right?
Probably so.
Except they have a horrendous schedule.
They're praying on the public.
Yeah, they're praying on the public. So, anyway, what really matters is the Falcons are middle of the road, and we've all talked about, you know, what's going to change that. What's going to change that? I mean, it's the most rudimentary, laziest, most uncompelling conversation. But when you have Drake London, Ray-Ray McLeod, Darnell Mooney, Tyler Algiers, the highest-ranked offensive line in the league, and Bijan Robinson, it's very simple. If Michael Penix Jr. can play this team, the sky is the limit.
No question.
And you could say that, listen, for every NFL team to a degree, but truly in Atlanta, it's like you know what you're getting in the top 10 or 15 quarterbacks.
100%.
The reason the Falcons are the absolute wild card is that you've got an offensive line ranked out as high as it gets in the league. You got five players, six skilled players, Kyle Pitts, that you know can match up with anybody, right?
Yep.
You have a quarterback that is 1-2 in his career and is a 25-year-old second-year player. That's why it's an absolute crapshoot. If Michael Penix Jr. can play, and I think they are not going to throw it 35 times a game, the number one guy in that offense is Bijan, and then it's Bijan again, and then it's Bijan again. But if Michael Penix does his job, throws for 200 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks, they're going to win a lot of football games.
No doubt. Beautiful day here at Flowery Branch. We're live at Falcons training camp. I just saw the great April Hill walk in. Who's she? She's the wife of Destin Hill, MD. He is on the orthopedic staff of the Atlanta Falcons. He runs the Emory Sports Facility right here. A Georgia grad who used to be the Cardinals orthopedic staff. So 2014, 15, 16, when I was out in Arizona, him and I were the only dogs out there. I remember we were in San Francisco, sidelines, playing the 49ers, and he walks up to me with his cell phone. Coach Rick just got let go.
Oh, wow.
Called Coach Rick after the game. He picked right up Coach Rick. So
that's who he
Dr.
is.
Hill, the man.
Hey, we'll come back. We'll play three strikes. Big game of the night. Tell you why the Braves won, but that don't mean much on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for being with us. The 10 o'clock hour, rightfully so, is brought to you by the Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one pressure washing company. We'll play some three strikes coming up in a little bit. And remind everybody, what is the big game of the night?
It's going to be your Atlanta Braves once again. They are in Kansas City. Can they win two in a row? It would be great. We told you yesterday that the Braves were minus 175 on the money line, which was a clear sign that Vegas had it in their sights they'd get off their five-game skid.
Yeah,
7:40
yeah.
First pitch tonight against the Kansas City Royals. Eric Fetty on the mound for the Fetty. Fed?
Yeah.
Eric Fetty.
Yeah.
Against Seth Lugo.
Yeah. Fun. Great matchup.
Exactly. 7:40 first pitch.
Do you know how much baseball is left? We're not even into August.
No, we're not.
An entire month of August playing out the string, an entire month of September playing out the string.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot.
A lot of baseball.
That's not easy showing up at the park when you're this far out. You have, I would say there's never been a team with less of a chance, and I mean that mostly because of the injuries. Like, there's no team in the history of mankind that could overcome all five of your starters on opening day being out.
It doesn't happen.
No. I mean, what did they pick up? Carrasco yesterday? Carlos Carrasco from the Yankees for cash consideration or whatever. I think teams are just like, Alex Anthopoulos is a nice guy. He's Canadian. Let me give you my 13th. It's almost like the old NHL draft on the Thrashers before they changed it. So if you're an expansion team in the NHL, you could take a roster, Drew, of like 22 players, and they could protect 16 of them, right?
Correct.
So you were getting like
Skrabinskis.
Yeah, like the 18th player on like all these rosters, right? Then they changed it years later where it was way higher up. And that's how the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I think, went to the Stanley Cup Final their second year.
Right.
Right? Because they're like, why do we – you know, we went 10 years in Atlanta. We're horrible for five. Went to the playoffs in our 10th. Think about the Thrashers were here for 10 years.
Danny Heatley, and never Ilya won Kovalchuk, a playoff game. I know.
Yeah, they kept picking number one. So with Alex Anthopoulos, because he's such a nice guy, they must have called him and said, just pick our last players on our roster. We'll just give them to you for cash.
I do have – you said Canadian, which obviously Alex Anthopoulos says. I know our listeners would be very, very interested to hear this breaking news that I just saw. Katy Perry, who recently split with Orlando Bloom, was seen last night having dinner with Justin Trudeau.
Interesting.
I mean –
yeah, I suppose
I say that in jest because I know none of our listeners
right.
care about that.
No, but. And Orlando Bloom, by the way, hasn't been lonely either, what I heard. But we're not going to focus on that. A couple things I want to do. Here's our three strikes questions.
Oh, excellent.
Three strikes, get to it earlier, fill the lines. The last time you shed a tear. The last time you shed a tear. The NFL storyline that will surprise folks this year. So think about the question. Here's one of mine. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a really good year, and I think the Steelers are going to be good. I don't think that this is not going to work or that the division's too hard or that they're not going to be able to compete against the Bengals and Ravens. I think Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith will do what they need to do to stay in games, and I don't think people believe that. Or I'll let you decide. The NFL storyline that will actually surprise folks this year. And are bachelor parties overrated? Are bachelor parties overrated? And think about all that comes with that. Maybe how old you are. I was just talking to your beautiful wife. She's organizing her bachelorette party for her sister.
Her younger sister, who's getting married on November 15th.
I broke it down a little bit with her. I'm not going to tell you our conversation. But it got me thinking, are bachelor parties over? There's some guys, if they hear about a 40-day bachelor party, where they'll lose their mind and be excited. Those are called men in their 20s and maybe their 30s. And then there are those who are like, dude, I can't go 4 days like that, right?
So I'm in a peculiar situation in regards to this bachelor party for my soon-to-be brother-in-law. Yeah. I'm out of the game. I'm 36.
Are you invited?
So I'm in the wedding. Of course I'm invited.
Where is it?
It's in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
So he's got buddies on the West Coast. Oh, he wanted to do Caribbean. We had our sights set on Baja Mar down in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I like that spot.
But for the West Coast guys, they're like, dude, that's 30-plus hours of travel. Like, we'd be able to enjoy a day and a half. So we decided we ended up on Vegas. And this is Ari's bachelor party.
So
he's
cliched.
Going out Thursday.
So cliched.
To Sunday. And, you know, Jackie, God bless her, she's like, Drew, you've done Vegas a million times. You got to be the guy.
Right. Can you get these guys into clubs and everything else?
I don't know if they're big club guys, but we've got some plans. We're going to see Mark Norman, who's a hilarious comic, on Saturday night. There are some rumblings about potentially doing the supercar thing where you go out to the racetrack and drive the nice cars.
What about golf?
No golf. Too hot. It is week zero of college football, so the sports book should be
lively.
You're
going right now. You're going like 2 weeks.
Yeah, buddy. What was the second question? Last time you shed a tear.
The NFL storyline that will surprise folks this year. The one you did not see coming. Give me a storyline you do not see coming. Who's the running back on the Patriots from Ohio State? Trayvon Henderson?
Yeah, Trayvon Henderson.
Trayvon Henderson could be Offensive Rookie of the Year.
We got to talk to our boy David Andrews because he's going to be doing weekly hits on WEEI, I believe, up there.
Yeah.
Maybe the sports.
He's already transitioned to media. He's also playing a ton of golf.
I see
and
that.
And he has slimmed down.
Yeah,
he looks good, right?
I'll take that action.
All right. Hey, last time you shed it to you, the NFL storyline that will flat out surprise you this year. And our bachelor party is overrated. You don't sound that pumped for the bachelor party.
No,
I don't sound at all.
I absolutely am.
Are you worried that Jackie's listening? You have to be like, oh, I got to go. I mean, it's my duty and whatever.
She knows me better than I know myself.
Right.
And she knows that as soon as Daddy lands in Vegas, it's full send time. Full send.
You're going to be at the craps table. You're going to be, right?
Yeah.
All right. Pass line, max odds, two comes. That's how you play.
Pass
games.
Line, max odds, two comes. I like
odds.
The hard ways, too, because
yeah,
I like to shoot
play.
The
that's
dice.
That's like betting parlay.
I shoot the dice.
I know, but that's parlay. That's the parlay
I shoot
city.
The
you
dice.
Don't play. You play a pass line, max odds, two come bets, max odds. That's the number one odds in the casino on your side.
Watching field goal practice right now. Young Wei Koo puts one up. Looked like a good hold from Bradley Pinion. They dap each other up. Probably good. I can't see. But this is a storyline that a lot of Falcons fans are going to want to pay attention to. It's already kind of picking up in the media. Young Wei Koo against Lenny the Leg Craig, German player. Young Wei, the fifth most expensive kicker in the NFL. His cap hit this year is $5.5 million. His struggles a year ago, well noted.
He was horrible.
He also claims to have had an injury. I believe that is true.
Oh, but nice storyline. Did they give him a show called Kicker where he can talk about that?
I do want to say for all the fans, you know, the practice reports, what you're seeing right now, probably a bit overblown. We'll get more into it when you get into the games. I'll explain to you who it matters, why it matters, what reps are being taken. But this is definitely a position where the Falcons will be able to save some cap dollars, as Young Wei is very expensive.
So if he gets cut, how much do you save on that?
I mean, look,
whole
his
salary?
Cap hit's $5.5 million. I'm not sure if it's guaranteed this year.
Right. And what would you pay a – is he a free
pay
agent kicker?
Yeah, pay the minimum.
He's a rookie?
Yeah.
From where?
Germany.
Oh. Fill the phone lines. This, you know, this is – we're trying to be thoughtful here, live at Flowery Branch. I just met a young lady, Wendy, who listens a lot. She's very sweet. She runs a Jersey Mike's.
You like Jersey Mike's? Jimmy John's, Jersey Mike's? What's your go-to?
I'm a huge Jersey Mike's guy.
Gotcha.
Huge. My brother-in-law owns like seven of them, so you're not going to hear nothing from me but positive.
Okay.
Jersey Mike's, which they should be advertising with us. The sales team's listening. I know everything on that menu, including the tuna, chicken salad, chicken cheese
steak. Wow.
Spicy steak and cheese, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, listen. What were we just chatting on? I'll tell you what she said to me. I don't know how you react to this. She goes, you know, you're really good. I listen to you all the time. She goes, some people, you know, how did she phrase it? Are really mean about you. Or some people are just, you know, I go, what do you mean? He goes, is that them squawking at the other station again? You know, the height of bitterness over there for numerous reasons. You talking about the other station? No. On Reddit, they say a lot of things about you. Like, Reddit? Like, she's like, yes, but you're a very, very talented man, and you're very entertaining, and I don't care what they say about you.
Hey, man,
and
all publicity's good.
She goes, yes, on Reddit. I didn't even know that was a thing. So should I Google Steak Shapiro Reddit or
probably
not?
Your mental health.
But I mean, at this point in time.
But I would say this. It goes back to the Howard Stern rule of law.
Yeah.
If they like you, they'll listen for 5 minutes. And if they hate you, they'll listen for 10.
Yeah. I mean.
There is a lot to be said for that.
I don't buy that
anymore.
The
biggest question about Steak Shapiro, what's he like?
Really?
I get it every day. What's he
so
like?
So they have a notion that he's going to be bombastic.
Bombastic.
Brash.
You know.
We got another B making
looking down on the little man.
Oh, stop it. Listen, that
bougie restaurants.
Oh,
harsh reviews.
No harsh reviews. Anyway, I just thought that was so funny. It's like, you know, people ask about me all the time. I say, you'd be surprised. He's a great guy. I was like, wow. That's an amazing compliment. Thank you. 404-726-0929. Last time you shed a tear, the NFL storyline will surprise you, and our bachelor party's overrated. If I don't see seven phone lines, I'm not taking one call. Let's do this. You're actually different than I pictured you. You're actually a really nice guy.
Oh, really? Is this the first time we've ever met?
Yeah. Oh. Marine Tim, always great to talk to you. The last time you shed a tear.
The last time I shed a tear was for my wife when her son passed away.
The NFL storyline that will surprise folks this year.
I don't believe Justin Fields will be able to finish the season. The line is not going to hold up, and he's going to get hurt.
Are bachelor parties overrated?
Extremely overrated.
Come on. I don't need that energy. I'm going on one soon.
Thank you, buddy. Rob in Northwest Georgia, the last time you shed a tear.
Watching my daughter graduate high school.
Yeah, I had a lot of those moments of late. She's headed off to college.
It was rough.
The NFL storyline that's going to surprise a lot of folks this year.
Oh, my God. Michael Penix gets hurt, and the Falcons win the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
I would never talk
you
about
totally
Michael Penix getting hurt,
one.
But I will say I think Kirk Cousins will be at some point in the middle of something with his team. Are bachelor parties overrated?
I'm going to have to say yes.
Guys.
Thank you.
I need some good juju. I'm not going to the beach.
Sir, you're as pumped up as you were in your 20s about going to one of your 30s?
I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Right, but they're not overrated.
But look, these guys are going to be looking up to me much like I do to you every day I come into the station.
Yeah. Listen, you have the tools. All right, we got to go, unfortunately. So Rusty's in tomorrow.
Is Abe Gordon mad at me? I was chirping him earlier on the radio. He's mad at me. I'm sorry. I was having fun.
Listen,
I'm getting the people fired
you
up.
You can't worry about it. We'll get on Reddit and you'll say something about it. Hey, thanks, Gordon. Thanks, Bo. Andy and Randy are up next. We're back at Flowery Branch on Thursday. And should be a great show coming up and a great day to be talking Atlanta Falcons football. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.